We're going to look at 1 John chapter 2 and verse 2. And so I'll put a couple of these things up here. Do all of you get the missionary updates? All of you that want them to, I know Randy sends, you know, it may be only every month or so, but we get some updates from Randy. And the one that, so I read three of his updates this morning, and those are so moving to me, to hear what God is doing on foreign soil. And I hope this don't sound boastful, but I read Brian Clark's this morning, and did you see that where he baptized Sakili? Did anybody else read Brian Clark's? Anyway, what was so exciting about that to me is in 2014, hey Pam. Hey Kevin, can you scoot over one and let's let Pam. Hey sis.
Hi, thanks.
Thank you. So in 2014, I went to London. Have anybody else in here been to London on those trips? We started going every year like 6 years ago, but I know Angie, I shouldn't say she gets frustrated, that's not the right word, but sometimes you question maybe a couple of the mission trips I've been on, and I told her in 2014, I said, honey, I feel like there's maybe somebody in London that needs to hear something that I could say to them. And so the very first day we were on the streets of London, we have almost in every town in America what we call Main Street. But in London, they have like 12 different boroughs. We would call them maybe suburbs. And the borough we were in, all of those boroughs have a Main Street, but they call it High Street. And so cars don't drive on the street. It's just a big walkway, and it's a half mile long, maybe just a quarter mile. And so there's all shops, and there's a few maybe carts with little kiosk out in the middle, but it's a very high traffic, you know, hundreds, thousands of people every day on High Street. And so he trains us, so we're all wearing these red shirts that say, no religion, just Jesus. And so there's no false pretenses. We're there to share the gospel, right? And so the very first day we were there, Grady and I teamed up. We were the only two from our church, and there was three from Iola. And so I met this young couple named Sakili and Jamal. And our goal is not only to share the gospel, but also to see if the missionary can have a follow-up contact with them. And they were very open to give us their contact information. And the next day or 2 days later, while we were still there, our missionary met with the lady and led her to Christ in a coffee shop. And so just for me to read this morning how that Brian and Mindy have been discipling Jamal and Sakili, and they're married now. And he was baptized a few months ago, and she got baptized just this month. That just rejoiced my heart. I mean, that's an answer to prayer, right? There's people being added to the church, and Brian Clark is hoping to turn his church over to another man, and he's hoping to go to another borough, maybe the borough where Sakili and Jamal live, and start another church. And so those things, those stories just... and I guess what made me so committed to read this was I was listening to a sermon yesterday, and let's read this verse before I tell the rest of it. Look at 1 John chapter 2 and verse 2. If someone would read that nice and loud.
For he is a propitiation for our sin, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world.
And what does that word mean, that propitiation? Does anybody know?
Substitute.
Okay, substitute. And the definition I read just said that it was something that appeases or satisfies. So really, Christ, this substitutionary sacrifice for our sins, He was really the only offering that appeased or satisfied the wrath of God and His holiness. And by the way, this word is in our Bible three times. I just thought it was interesting. It's in there a trinity of time, propitiation. And Christ is that propitiation. And all of us who let me ask you this. So if He is the substitute or the offering for our sins, how do we appropriate that for ourselves? How do we apply that to our own lives? Hey, Stan. What would you say? When we're forgiven. And how are we forgiven? It's by grace through faith, right? That we are forgiven. And so think with me, because it says there, He's the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the world. Now, everyone He died for the sins of the world, but everyone hasn't actually appropriated that, have they? You have to appropriate that by faith. You have to accept it and receive it by grace through faith. Amen? Amen. And so the thing I'm thinking of is this thing of prayer. That's what we're talking about, Stan. We also have to... because. How many thinks prayer is hard? Could we all probably agree? It's not natural, is it? Do you know that when you're walking in the Spirit, it's very easy. It's natural. It's as natural as breathing to pray. But our flesh, it's contrary to that, isn't it? Because it's a spiritual discipline. And so, gosh, all of us say, man, we should pray more or pray better. And so the thing I was listening. So as I was praying about what to speak about this morning, and I'm kind of thinking through, you know, lessons I've taught before or books I've, you know, studied or. But then I thought of Brian's email that he's our pastor is convicted about our pastor spending time on their knees. And so I just started thinking about prayer. And I think, okay, God, You want me to talk about prayer. And because I am a burden for our church. I am burdened for people. And so I listened to a sermon yesterday by Adrian Rogers. And it was about prayer, so I thought, well, I'll listen to a sermon about prayer. And in it, and I just got about halfway through it, and he said that when he was at a different church, and he was, I don't know if he was a youth pastor or the pastor of the church, but he said he became burdened for a young man. He called him Johnny. And he said, but he could never really find some time alone with Johnny to share his faith. And so he said one day, because his point was that prayer begins with worship and, you know, being in fellowship. He said, an old preacher named Emmanuel Beasley used to say, you know, find out what God's doing and get in on it. And he said, so he felt like he needed to begin with worshiping God and just get in on what God was doing. And he said, as he was praying, he was burdened for Johnny, and he was praying for Johnny. And He said he felt like God just impressed on him to go downtown where Johnny might be and see if Johnny would ride with him to this other place where Adrian Rogers needed to go. And so Adrian just got up from prayer and he drove downtown, and sure enough, Johnny was standing on the corner. And he said, "Johnny, I'm going over to such and such town." He said, "Would you go with me?" And Johnny went with him, and he shared his faith, and Johnny gets saved. And this is like a true story. And then I get up this morning, I see Brian Clark baptized Sakili, who I witnessed to personally on High Street in 2014. And anyway, I want more of that. Don't you want more of that? I mean, you want more souls to be saved. I think, God, why doesn't He answer my prayers like that? And I mean, those are stories that have happened. There's other stories to be told yet, and God wants to use each one of us. And the people that are, and Rick, I know you've been burdened for a friend. You've asked us to pray for this friend, And so I thought we'd just study prayer this morning. And I think the way we appropriate God's hand in our life is through prayer, because He didn't only die for the sins of the world. Do you know we're seated together in heavenly places with Christ? And we can go to Him any time of the day or night. And and Adrian Rogers said something about, instead of praying from earth to heaven, if we're seated with Him in heavenly places, let's pray from heaven to earth. I mean, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And that would kind of change the way I thought. But let's look at a story now from Genesis 24. I want you to see this story as we talk about prayer. Genesis 24, and this is the story of Abraham sending his servant to find a bride for his son Isaac. And I just had our Bible Institute students, I'm teaching a class on marriage, and I had them try to find at least a half a dozen principles about dating out of Genesis 24, and that was one of their assignments. And so I had a list of my own, and one of mine was to pray about it. That's a good dating principle, isn't it? Pray about it. See who God would bring into your life. Well, look here at Genesis 24. And most believe that this servant is none other than Eleazar, who is the Abraham's chief steward of his house. And it says, so the story is that Abraham is aged. And does anybody know how old Isaac is at this time? The next chapter tells how old he was when he got married. Look at chapter 25 and verse 20. And somebody read 25:20.
And Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah to wife, the daughter of Bethuel, the Syrian of Padanaram, the sister to Laban the Syrian.
So Isaac was 40 years old, and he was not married, and so Abraham was his father. And you know, this is a covenant that God made with Abraham, that his seed would be as the sand of the seashore and the stars of heaven. And his son's 40 years old and not married, so kind of need to get on it, right? Brian Hunter, he used to tell his kids that his grandparent biological clock was ticking. So maybe Abraham was thinking that too. And so he sends his son, his servant, probably Eleazar, to find a bride for his son Isaac. And let's start at verse 10 here. It says in chapter 24, go back to 24:10. And the servant took 10 camels of the camels of his master and departed, for all the goods of his master were in his hand. And he arose and went to Mesopotamia under the city of Nahor. And I believe that that's Abraham's brother. And so he went to his master's family. In verse 11, and he made his camels to kneel down without the city by a well of water at the time of the evening, when the time that women go out to draw water. And he said, and listen, this is his servant's prayer in verse 12. We're in Genesis 24:12. And he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day, and show kindness unto my master Abraham. Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. And let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink, and she shall say, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac, and thereby shall I know that thou hast showed kindness unto my master. And verse 15 says, and it come to pass before he had done speaking, that behold, Rebekah came out, who was born to Bethuel, son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, with her pitcher upon her shoulder. And I'll stop there, but look at verse 45 of this same chapter. And somebody read verse 45.
And before I had done speaking in my heart, behold, Rebekah came forth with her pitcher on her shoulder. And she went down into the well and drew water. And I said unto her, let me drink, I pray thee.
And what I'm giving you here is what I consider a definition of prayer. Because I read you where Eleazar was praying, you know, grant the petition of my master Abraham, bring a daughter of his people for my master's son. And later when Eleazar is telling this story to Rebekah's family, he said, when I was done speaking to God in mine heart, Rebekah came and... So do you see how that's a good definition of prayer, a biblical definition? And everybody says, duh, of course that's what it is. But, you know, oftentimes we're maybe talking to ourselves in our mind, but we're not necessarily praying to God. And a friend of mine likes to say, we know the verse from Colossians 3:2, to set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. He says our affection has direction, and our prayer has direction. So when we're sitting here just thinking about whatever we got to do, we're not necessarily praying, but when we turn our affection, our direction to heaven, and in our heart we consciously pray, you know, Lord, you know, what do you think about? I mean, sometimes at work I even pray, God, help me fix this piece of equipment, right? I mean, because you know, there's so many things we don't know, and we do need the Lord's help. And in this case, he was praying for. I mean, this was obviously the Lord's will, wasn't it? Because when we ask according to his will, it shall be given us, right? And so that is a good prayer, isn't it? To ask according to God's will. And so what are some other things about prayer that you've thought of as we're talking here? I want this to be a little bit interactive today, but to me, this is just a neat story about praying for, and Angie and I try to pray for our grandkids to be saved. I mean, those are things that are in God's will. We want them to have, some righteous young ladies and boys out there prepared for our grandchildren. And you think of that as you become grandparents, and there's so much bad things in the world you just don't want them to get caught up in. And what else? Because I thought we might just even almost make a prayer list. Because I do want us to pray for Brian as he's away. I want us to pray for our church. And it's funny. I mean, Pam's here. I don't want to embarrass you, but I was praying that you would come to class a couple weeks ago. You know, when I invited you, and you know. Pray about who you can bring to church. Pray about who you can witness to. I've got a couple of lost guys at work now. One of our, I don't know if you remember him, Rick, one of the guys I work with, somehow he purchased a Clarence Larkin's Dispensational Truth book. One of my maintenance guys, and I don't think he's a saved man, he's reading Clarence Larkin, Dispensational Truth. I'm like, wow. You know? Many of us, I mean, that's not a well-known book in most circles, but I don't even know how he heard about it. Maybe that's somebody I could witness to, right? I have witnessed to him, but what else can we pray for? What else do we need to be?
Can I ask what you said about praying that I come?
Please, yeah.
Between the prayer and then what got me here was your personal invitation. You called. You took time to call to invite us. That's what got me here. But your prayer was important.
I've started doing that Saturday night, just thinking, who can I invite to church tomorrow? I just start because.
So thank you.
You're welcome. And there's been people getting saved at our church. There's been people getting baptized, and so. But I forget who I told this to recently. Just as you grow in the Lord. I mean, hopefully you become more thankful, but you also become others focused. And I mean, all of us have our own problems, and it's hard to get over our own problem. But as we become others focused, he can be begin to trust us more. And because the issue is not can we trust him, but can he trust us, right? We need to pray for Jeff. Pastor Jeff is just an unsung hero in our church. I don't know if you know that, but you know, I don't even know half of what he does, but I know he visits a lot of people, and Brian leans on him to go to hospitals. He always helps with serving communion to our homebound members. And you know, Jeff is a saint, isn't he? I mean, I told the people in India, he studies the Bible more than anybody I know. I told the whole church in India that, and he does. I was saved. This is an honor for me to be here today, because this week I will have been saved 25 years on March 14th. And so I kind of reminisce a little bit. But, you know, when I was first saved, and I worked with Royal Sloggenbush. Royal led me to Christ. I don't know if you knew that or not. But one of my first memories of Jeff Trude, he always sat by himself, but he brings a Bible and another big study book to the lunch table every day. That was Jeff Trude 25 years ago when I was first saved. Jeff Trude at work bringing some big encyclopedia and his Bible to work. I thought, I mean, he was just kind of the man of God or something over. And so me and Royal, we would sit there and do our Bible. And sometime we had Jeff sat with us. And so I've known Jeff almost my whole Christian life. And the very first ministry I was involved with was called the Bible Club for Kids at Kansas City Baptist Temple. And Jeff was the leader of it, Jeff Trude. And he's got some wonderful children's material. And he, you know, his artwork, we think is kind of cute here, but he's a very gifted artist. And he's got this whole curriculum of kids. And he led the whole children's ministry for Monday Night Bible Study for years at the Baptist Temple. And so that was the first ministry I was involved with, because Royal was doing it, and Royal led me to the Lord. And so I'm getting discipled, I'm getting involved in ministry. And so anyway, that's a little bit of my history. But what else can we pray for that we know is God's will? I mean, he's going to build his church. We want to pray for that. We want to pray for our pastors. We know we want to be others focused, so we want to pray for visitors. Our missionaries. Thank you. That was a good one. And that word missionaries is not in our Bible, but it actually comes from the word apostle, which means sent one. The Latin word for apostle is missio. And so we call missionaries, there are sent ones, right? And we're a very mission-minded church. Not only should we accomplish his mission at our Jerusalem, but also in Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost. And that can be done simultaneously. And we have, were you going to mention something?
I was just going to say different ministries that were of HBF. I know my employees and I think every one of them was part of Life Issues. And we pray daily for Life Issues.
Wow. I use this acronym, LIM, for Life Issues Ministry. A lot of people just abbreviate LI for Life Issue, but I feel like it looks like lie. So I don't want to pray for lie, so I put the M, Life Issues Ministries. And so thank you, David. That's good. Thank you.
We want to pray for our leaders.
Like our country?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. What do you say, Katie?
I was thinking about people in my own family that aren't saved, or just mm-hmm. people in general that you know that are not saved.
I won't.
What about revival?
That's good.
For the church and the country, and mm-hmm. even our ministers, sometimes, you know, you hear about ministers getting burnt out.
Yeah.
I pray for all you guys daily. I'm not carrying the burden you are either. So.
Well, it sounds like you are if you're praying for us. So that even pray for our enemies. Okay. Ouch. You just had to go there, didn't you?
It's necessary.
No, thank you.
A common prayer I used to say was all those inside and outside these walls.
Hmm. Okay. That's good. Let me tell you just another story real quick. Hey, Heather, before you leave, hey, would you tell us just about endurance ministry? I know you're leading. Has that already started? Okay, just tell us real briefly, because I know, because I was just, Angie and I were talking last night, we were thinking, gosh, I don't think any people in our ministry would maybe be able to do what you're doing, but say what your endurance.
It's a running ministry for those who want to start running, so it starts like very low level at first, and then we'll do memory verses. Sorry, I have this stuff my dad has. We'll have memory verses to memorize, and devotions at the end, and then I'll show them how to do exercises to prevent injuries, and then stretches also to prevent injuries.
Mm-hmm.
Just show them like the basics of running.
And you're going to start when this week?
Tuesday. It starts Tuesday, and so it's every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, and we work up to a 5K in May.
So you're trying to run a 5K in May?
Yep. And it's a 9-week program.
Okay.
And then from there, we'll meet after the 5K for a month. We'll meet once a month for people who want to like improve their speed or. Uh-huh. Like hills and stuff like that. You don't think about stuff like that when you run, but it's necessary to do that kind of stuff.
And that's, Tuesday night?
It's Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Saturdays, and we meet at 6 in the evening.
Okay. Men or women?
Yep, men.
No matter what age?
Yep.
Okay.
Where
is
that?
It's right here at the church?
Right at the church, yep.
At 6 on Tuesday,
Thursday,
and Saturday.
Yep.
All right, Heather. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, David, you want to share your race experience?
Well,
I'm teasing. You want to come in, sir? Okay. Well, David, is that a friend of yours?
Hey.
Okay. Well, another thing that started me really thinking about prayer this week, I won't mention this lady's name because, you all know her, but she's really a prayer warrior, and she convicts me about prayer. This last week, So let me back you up. Like 2 years ago, she introduced me to a couple, and the man struggling with alcoholism, and the lady wants nothing to do with church, and so they come, and he starts coming to some meetings, but he has a reason that he doesn't want to be there, so he kind of quit coming, and so fast forward, 1 or 2 years later, a lady from our church has been continuing to witness to her, and she led her to Christ this week. And it's a wonderful thing. And so I feel like God used the husband's alcoholism to bring the wife to salvation in Christ. And so I'm texting with this member of our church about this, and she said, "Oh, and also a couple weeks ago, this lady that used to be an atheist, I got to lead her to Christ too." And so it's like, man, Lord, you're really doing some great work in the lives of our people. But God wants that for all of us, doesn't He? He wants us to be people of prayer. And so He's like, Steve, pray for this lady. Her husband's still alcoholic, and so I mean, that's a burden I have, Mitch. Is, man, all these people, and they have so many problems, it's just hard to do. So, if I don't keep my focus on the Lord, these other things do weigh you down. And because, I can't help anybody quit drinking alcohol. One of the sayings I have now is, God is not just a resource, He is the source. He's not just a resource, He's the source. And He has to be the source of our deliverance from sin. And you know what? If He can raise the dead, can He not help you stop drinking alcohol? I mean, if He can do these great, powerful things and parting the water, can He not help us to quit whatever? And so if you have a hidden sin, bring it out into the light. That was one of the most liberating things I did with our group, was just to confess my things openly and say, this is who I am, and I'm struggling with this, and God help us, right? And that's just an honest cry and plea. And So we are going to pray for these things. We've got a few more minutes. Is there anything else you want to, this list in green here, if you can read it? We want to pray for our Pastor Jeff. We want to pray for visitors. We want to pray for Pastor Brian as he's leading a discipleship conference in Georgia this week. And we want to just pray for our church in general. We want to pray for our missionaries. I was telling you, I was reading about our missionaries, and there's just some amazing works going on throughout the world, isn't there? I mean, I recently went to India, and if you didn't know it, well, you got to come to the Vision Conference, because I know Randy says we're not going to really promote, but there's some neat things going on in our midst. But what is it, April 2nd through the 6th? Is that the dates? And I'm going to plan to take a vacation day or two because there's some things going on in the daytime. So if you can, come to our Vision Conference. I know, David, there's going to be... it's so funny. Jim Stovall hates to speak in public. I mean, he could really vomit to be in front of people. Hey, he served the Lord's Supper the other night, and I'm standing, and his pant leg is quivering, and he's not even having to say anything. He's just standing there. He is petrified to be in front of people, and Brian asked him to say a few words about life issues during our Vision Conference, and he's going to. So, anyway, so there's just some neat things. So plan to, probably everybody's heard of maybe a missions conference, but our missions conference is called a visions conference. And does anybody know who the speaker is this year? All right, we have a main speaker, and then we bring in some other missionaries to do some other. But our main speaker is Sam Strickland. He's probably 75. He's closer to 80 probably, and he's still going to the Middle East. He's reaching Muslims for Christ, and he lives like in Lee Summit, Missouri. He's a retired pastor. He pastored a church for like 30 years, and then, but I mean, Stan, he's right out of your spirit of, he's just got all this energy. I mean, he's a 75, 80 year old guy. And he's amazing. ADDS. Huh?
ADD.
Yeah, he probably does. Amen. So come and hear Sam Strickland. I mean, you can learn from guys like that, right? I mean, he's solid as a rock in the Word, and he's got a desire to reach others with. I mean, he's training missionaries and pastors in the Middle East. And there's churches in Iraq, and I think last I knew he's working with a church in Egypt around Cairo. And so there's just pockets of believers in every area of the world. And so I think these vision conferences helps open our eye. It gives us vision, right? That's why I think Brian called it a vision conference. So pray for that. Pray for our ministries. And there's some announcements in our bulletin. I mean, I know our ministries have, we have two fundraisers each year. We have a garage sale in the spring and our walk in the fall. And so that just helps support our ministry. We don't receive any money from Heartland Baptist Fellowship. We kind of raise our own. And but I know Shane's having a garage sale too, and some other things going on. And Pam just asked, pray for our leaders of our country. Pray for the USA, and I'm sure they'd appreciate our prayers. And pray for, what was this, just our family members? We have, some of us have lost family members, probably all of us. And Mitch, how about pray for revival? And, you know, I was reading, I studied... the story of Joseph for our life issues on Friday night. And I wanted people to see how he was able to forgive his brothers when they did him wrong. But this may be the first mention of revive in the Bible. But you know that Joseph was sold into slavery in Egypt. And they took his coat of many colors and put goat's blood on it. And deceived their father Jacob to thinking that their son was dead. And but after the famine, and his children of Israel went down to Egypt and got food, and after Joseph revealed himself to his brethren, and they went home and told his father that he was alive, it says the spirit of Jacob was revived. This word, his spirit was revived when he knew Joseph was alive. And Joseph is a type of Christ. And when we believe that Jesus Christ is alive, it should revive us. And we don't have to fall prey to our temptations. We don't have to give in to sin. Our Lord Jesus Christ is alive, and He's seated at the right hand of the Father. He makes intercession for us, and so we should be revived. And so that's a good prayer, Mitch. And Sherry just says to pray for our enemies, and you know, things that they mean for evil, God means for good. And we can pray for our enemies. And this lady that's an atheist, she was an enemy of the cross, and now she's saved. And Kevin saying, pray for those inside and outside our walls. But is there anything else we want to add to that, Stan?
Steve, I've got a four-day revival starting tomorrow at Bon Terre. I haven't been in the prison since September, October.
That's a prison, Bon Terre?
Bon Terre, Missouri. That's where they put him to death at.
Wow, I've never even heard of it. How do you spell that?
I'll be there tomorrow.
B-O-N-T-E-R-R-E. Pray for the revival there. Wow. Thank you for sharing that. That's awesome. And are you speaking some?
I don't know yet. I had refused to go into the institutions because of some political pressure. Huh. And just stepped aside. And I said, Lord, if you want to put me in there, you open the door. Well, I got a call and said, huh. Yeah, nothing else. I just went in there to witness. Huh. But I gave up my badge, my business, and I got a call on it about a month ago. And yeah, I'll be.
You gave up your state volunteer badge?
Yes. There were several of us did because of the issue. Hmm.
So. But prayer, hoping to. Yeah. That's what we're talking about, prayer. Wow, we will pray for you, Stan. Is that with Rock of Ages?
No, it's Absolute Truth Ministries.
Absolute Truth.
Brand new ministry.
I was going to say, I haven't heard of them.
No.
Does somebody else have a hand up?
I think it's important to praise God when we pray today.
Okay.
It's really neat. Sometimes on Thursdays, you know, we'll do a prayer request and James will be up there. And sometimes they get pretty heavy. And
yeah.
Be like, let me hear a praise. So it's important to praise and thank God for
sure. Some people say when we pray, we're asking God, but when we praise, we thank God. I like that. Was there another one?
And this is more specific, but just pray for what's going on in South Africa right now.
What is going on in South Africa?
Basically, white people are being targeted by the Native population, and they're
like Desiree's sister and
it's,
family.
It's getting more frequent, and the acts are getting worse, almost like the bad. But it's basically what is genocide.
And if you didn't know, I mean, Desiree's the lady that works at our church, whose husband, their family goes here. Her sister was violently raped. Her husband was killed, and she almost died.
Yeah. And what saved her is her head fell one way versus the other, and it kept her from bleeding out. And she doesn't remember most of what happened to her. She just remembers God being there during that.
Yeah. So just horrific things and. Wow. Well, let's do go to the Lord in prayer, and let's do praise Him. And Chase, I want you to pray. Let's have two or three. Mitch, will you pray? And Doyle, will you pray? And so just go in that order, and then I'll finish. Let's just pray together. I'm going to shut off the microphone, and let's just pray together.
Dear God, Lord, we just...